we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy February the 2nd, 2016 to you, Brevard County. We trust that you are having a wonderful day. And, you know, as I was just reminded, today is Groundhog Day. You know what? I'm going to give you a little newsflash here. The length of winter is not going to be determined by that stupid groundhog. It doesn't matter whether he sees his shadow or doesn't see his shadow. God's the one that says, you know, hey, summer and winter, it's going to endure. And so springtime and harvest. So, you know, I hope you don't fall for all of that sort of stuff. And I hope that you are consulting the Word of God and not your horoscope to, you know, find out whether or not you should get out of bed today. Hey, today is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. There are some people, you know, that they're going to be all in a frenzy. And the thing is, I don't even know how they determine whether or not that silly thing sees its shadow or not, because they've got all these lights, I mean, from all directions. And so they've pretty much determined whether he sees it or not whenever he's pulled from his hole and all that. So I'm thankful Jesus is in control of our day a lot more than that. Amen. So we're going back today to Genesis chapter 14. Do want to take one last opportunity to invite you, well, I'll probably mention it on tomorrow's program as well, to hear Rich and Tammy Stevens of the Stevens Family Singers as they're ministering in song in our vintage service tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., 165 North Grove Street. We are going to take a love offering. It's a concert, but there's no tickets required or anything like that. If you like good Southern gospel music, come and allow them to bless you. In fact, I will tell you this: we have prayer meetings at our church, and when we have a nighttime prayer meeting, their music, there's a CD that they have produced, is our congregation's favorite CD to pray to. It just plays in the background, and it's some older choruses and hymns that they have just done music to, and our congregation, it just helps set the atmosphere for us to pray and touch heaven. So come tomorrow, 11 a.m., and you will be blessed, I promise you. So want to take this opportunity to turn back to Genesis chapter 14. We're talking about the culture of service that Abram had created in his house. It not only touched him, but it also touched the people who worked for him. And for anybody who's a leader out there, I want you to know that the culture that you create personally will rub off, and it will have impact upon those who are around you. I have dealt with people who were in leadership, and I've dealt with people who were under those specific people's leadership. And when I dealt with the people under their authority, I said, you know, they would not be the type of person that they were unless that had come from the leader. And so whether that's good or bad, you know, it is true. We are people who influence. And so service is one of the gifts that God has, that he has given to us. And like I said on yesterday's program, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And you and I, if Jesus did that, how much more should we do that as well? And so let me take you back to Genesis chapter 14. Verse number 13, and it says, then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and they were allies with Abram. Now, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. So Abram literally goes out and risks life and limb to rescue Lot and the rest of the people who had been carried off into captivity. When he went out, it said that they went out in pursuit. In this particular case, the enemy had already attacked. And in order for, he had already attacked, achieved his victory, and was returning back to his promised land. And in order to stop that from, or returning to his homeland, in order to stop these family, for Lot and his family from being carried off and the rest of the people from the communities being carried off in captivity, Abram had to be proactive here and he had to go in pursuit. I pray that we as the body of Christ would stop being so reactionary that the only times that we get engaged in service is whenever we are reacting to an attack of the enemy. And instead, we would realize that Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I pray that you and I would be trained and armed and equipped and experienced so that we could take the battle to the enemy and not always waiting for the enemy to bring the battle to us. That's just a thought. I believe that God wants to bring I believe he has a plan to bring the world to salvation. It's up to us to communicate with him, to find out where we fit in that plan, and then to implement that plan. So it says, then he, in verse number 15, he divided his forces against them by night. He and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. And so he was not only a servant that was proactive, but he was also strategic. It said that when they caught up with the enemy, that he divided his forces against them, and then they implemented the plan of attack. So what is your strategy for serving? Is it just going to be, you know, whatever you feel like doing? Because if that's your strategy, you're not going to feel like serving. it's just not going to happen. Today, I had a strategic plan for today that was already in place yesterday afternoon. I knew what my today held, and so it was on my mind during the night. It was on my mind early in the morning, and so then there was something there was a situation that arose early this morning. And so I had to adjust the strategic plan a little bit, but I'm still going to get everything done that I needed to get done. And so I encourage you, you need to ask God, "God, what is your strategy?" Because God's strategy is not always going to be the same. There was a time in David's life where he was king and he was engaging the Philistines, and God gave him a strategy in one battle, and there was victory. And then it's hard to get the timeline, when you are reading through the historical accounts, because you can be reading one chapter and it cover a huge period of time. So it goes on to the next verse, and there's another battle with the same enemy and a different strategy. A different strategy. And so we need to know, because God is a very strategic God. He doesn't just, fly at it and say, "Man, I hope this works." He's got a strategic plan in place, and he wants to implement that plan. And when, listen, I will tell you this about God. When God's plan is put in place, it's implemented God's way in God's time, because that's also a very important thing. Gideon, when he attacked, his attack would not have worked if they had attacked during the day. It was a bunch of torches that all of a sudden came out of nowhere, and the people realized that they were surrounded. But that plan wouldn't have worked in the daytime, because the enemy would have been able to see that there were only 300. There weren't thousands like they thought that there were. So you need to know God's timing. There was another time in the book of Judges, I believe it is, where there is a civil war going on in Israel between the tribe of Benjamin and the rest of Israel. And the Israel, you know, they pray, God, you know, should we go and we deal with this horrible situation that has taken place? And God says, yes. And they go out and they get defeated. And they said, should we go out again? And he said, yes. And they went out again and they got defeated. And they came back a third time, and they were just really decimated and confused. And the third time, God said, tomorrow, go out tomorrow. Tomorrow is, and that was the day that they got the victory. I believe that we would save ourselves a lot of heartache and a lot of pain and a lot of loss if we would just get God's timing, his strategy, and then implement it at that point in time. So that was how Abram served Lot. He went and he rescued him. You will find that also a little bit later, when Sodom and Gomorrah is about to be destroyed, that two angels show up, and this is in Genesis chapter 18, and Abram gets up from where he's at. He sees these two angels that are coming, and he goes and he runs over to meet them, and he says, hey, let me show you my hospitality. He says, I want you to be refreshed. I like that part, refreshed. Verse number 9, Genesis 18, 5, I'm sorry. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. And so today I pray that we would not only be refreshed ourselves, but we would serve in such a manner that it would refresh the hearts of those that we touch. You may be listening to this and you're prepared for a difficult day at work. Can I encourage you? Ask God, pray, and say, God, how could I be a source of refreshing, serve in a manner that it refreshes my boss today? Rather than being a bearer of bad news, rather than being a problem child, can you show me a manner to be a blessing in the manner in which I serve? And so now I need to paint the picture for you, because Abram has just invited people over for dinner without telling his wife. This is in Genesis chapter 18. He's just invited people over for dinner. They happen to be two angels, so they are going to be merciful. But he didn't tell his wife. Not only that, there is no grocery store that you can run down to. Abram shows up in verse number 6, and he says to Sarah, quickly make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes. Abram ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. I want you to know that took hours. It took a long time to do that, because you didn't just go out and it wasn't like going to the grocery store and buying a steak and saying, okay, I'm going to grill it and it'll be done in, you know, 30 minutes. It wasn't that way at all. There was a lot of preparation that went into that just before they were able to cook it. And so Abram, his desire to serve and be hospitable, it permeated his entire house. I pray that your home, our churches, would be cultures of service. There is a quote I was just looking at this morning. It said, everybody in the church needs a job. They need a place to serve. And so whether that is helping with the grounds or helping with the cleaning or helping with the kids ministry or helping with the greeting ministry, and some large churches, they have parking details, there's setup and there's tear down and all of that sort of stuff. Some there's decoration, there's procurement, there's secretarial, where whatever it is, everybody needs to find a place to serve. And I pray that you would find it. And if you get involved in one area of service and you say, you know, I don't really think that this is the area that God has called me to fulfill, I don't want you to give up. I just want you to say, you know what, Pastor, could we try a different area? Could we try a different area? Because there is an area that's out there. And so there is an attitude that comes where you and I can serve. So I want to take you to John chapter 13. I'm going to show you, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I have lots of favorites. John chapter 13, and it says that now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, or loved them to the uttermost. That was verse number one. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I'll just stop the reading there. So let me tell you a little bit, because here Jesus served his disciples. He was the rabbi. He was Lord and Master. He was the one. He was not supposed to take on this most menial of tasks. This was one of the lowest levels of service that was provided in Jewish culture. Was when someone came in, there was a servant who went around and washed their feet and washed the dust off their feet. Everybody wore sandals, and so whenever you came in, they weren't walking on paved streets. They were walking on dusty roads, and so when they came in, they would wash the dust off of their feet. It was one of the most basic or most menial tasks. It was not for the upper level servants. This was for the lowest level servants. And Jesus said, I can do that. I can do that. And the purpose of Jesus serving here is to teach the disciples to serve. You and I, we need to all have this mindset of being a servant. If we ever adopt that mindset where we're entitled to something, it's going to be a very frustrating thing, because God will bring us to that place that was humbling. In order to serve in this capacity, you have to be very secure in who you are. Insecure people do not serve well. Insecure people do not serve well. And I pray that you know who you are in Christ, because it will empower you to be a tremendous servant. It says here, Jesus knew that he was getting ready to depart this world and go to the Father. And so he had nothing to lose. People who serve realize that they have nothing to lose. Do you know that I was at this dinner on one particular occasion, and it wasn't a fancy restaurant, but there was a person who was at that dinner, and when the waiter or waitress came, I don't remember which one it is, he said, "Now, I want you to know that you're here to serve, and if you will give me excellent service, I promise you that I tip very well. I tip very well." And out of all of the places that I've ever been, it was the most phenomenal tip that I had ever seen anybody give. And I think that they ended up tipping that particular waiter or waitress something like $200. And it wasn't a large party. I mean, it wasn't a small party, but it was only about 10 to 12 people. But he ended up giving that person a tip of about $200. And so I want to encourage you to serve in a very secure manner. Know who you are. Know that God is watching over it. And as you and I serve to the glory of God, God is going to make sure that we are taken care of. You and I, if we ever minister out of our insecurity, it's not going to go well. But when we minister because we know that the time is short and that the Father's clock is ticking, and we need to be about the Father's business, and so we serve with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, it is going to be a glorious experience. It says, he also served out of love. There's a couple of ways that you can serve. You can serve because you have to, or you can serve because you love to. And I pray that you will adopt the latter. That there's actually two aspects. It says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. You and I, for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus loves what he does, and he loves those he does it for. He loves what he does, and he loves you, and he's doing it for you. So I encourage you to develop a mindset of serving because you love to serve, not because you have to serve. If I ever get to the place where I pastor because I have to, instead of because I love to and because God has called me to, then it's time for me to step aside. You and I, the mark of distinction in ministry has got to be love. Jesus, it was said of him that no one ever spoke the way that Jesus did. There were lots of rabbis. There were lots of teachers. There were lots of rulers in the synagogue. And they said, no one ever spoke the way that this man spoke, because he loved the word. He loved doing the will of God. And he loved the people that he was ministering to. And as a result, his service impacted the world. No one ever impacted society across the generations and across the globe the way that Jesus did. So I encourage you, follow his mindset. Don't be afraid to do something, whether it's grand on the scale or whether it's low on the scale. Just take on and perform the service that needs to be done. Do it because you love serving. Do it because you love the ones that you serve. He even, Judas was there at that particular time, and he had already decided that he was going to betray Jesus. But it goes on and says, verse number 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. Okay, so he realized that because of his mindset of a servant, he had nothing to lose. You see, there are plenty of arrogant people in the world. There are people who look down on other people because they have a task that they're doing that is not very glorious. But can I tell you a different way to look at that? I look at people and I see, I look to find people who are really good at doing their job at a low level, because if they're faithful at that level, they will be faithful at a greater level as well. Lots of people can do well in the limelight, but I will tell you this, a lot of people crash and burn in the limelight. We need to allow God to forge our heart of service so that we will know that everything we do is not out of our giftings, but it's because it's for the glory of God. So he said he knew that everything had come from God and he was going to God. So everything came from him and he was going back to him. There was nothing to lose. What do you have to lose by serving the people that you're working with by giving them a compliment? What do you have to lose? I declare that as the body of Christ, we do not have anything to lose by making ourselves servants to our community. I believe we have a whole lot to gain. Jesus gained by serving. Jesus gained by serving. So don't be afraid to serve and let God do great and mighty things as a result of that. It can be something small and insignificant, but it may make a lasting impact upon people's lives. I'll be honest with you, there are people who have told me that someone in their life had done something, and then when you ask that person about it, they didn't even remember doing it. I'm not talking about a bad thing. I'm not talking about a traumatic thing. I'm talking about they just did something. If you ever hear Beth Moore tell the story about the man in the airport that she went over and combed his hair, if you get a chance, look it up on YouTube. It will be a testimony that would, it will bless your heart. She said, "Sir, could I have the honor of brushing your hair?" I encourage you. It will be an inspiration to you. Go check that out and let's go and do likewise. God bless you. You have a great Tuesday. Serve to the glory of God today. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.